Penguin Random House Audio presents Aspen Crossroads by Janine Roche. Read for you by Emily Ellett. This book is dedicated to the survivors and all those fighting to end human trafficking. Author's note. This novel deals with topics that may be sensitive to the listener, including sexual assault, childhood sexual abuse, homelessness, and sex trafficking. It should be noted that the reality of what survivors of sex trafficking have experienced is far grittier and darker than what is portrayed here. To learn more about how you can help stop human trafficking and provide support for the survivors, visit 100movement.com. The 100 Movement provides free counseling services to survivors of sex trafficking and training for foster parents of survivors. If you need help for yourself or you suspect someone might be in a trafficking situation in the United States, please call the National Trafficking Hotline at 1-888-373-7888 or text Be Free to 233-733. If you have experienced sexual violence in the United States, you can receive confidential help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, through the National Sexual Assault Hotline by calling 1-800-656-HOPE-4673. Chapter 1. As Haven slipped through the farmer's market crowd, the side-eyed glances scrawled decades-old Haviland family gossip across her skin. She should have grown used to it, but these days it felt far more personal. And after all she'd done to help them, or tried to help them anyway. That was over now, though, thanks to her foolishness. "Just like her mother," Mrs. Vermilion whispered loud enough to reach Haven's ears. "All those Haviland kids are, in one way or another." Sandy Hugh, her mother's one-time best friend, tisked and shook her head. "Their poor father." Haven fidgeted with the neckline of her blouse. Despite the heat, she tugged it up to her clavicle.
"Don't mind them, Haven. They only think they know our family."
Her sister Rarity adjusted the scarf tying up her ebony tresses. With her capris and halter top, today's look made her appear as an extra on a 60s teen beach movie. Rarity handed each woman a 3x5 flyer advertising her vintage dress shop.
"Ladies, bring this card into Fringe and Lace for 30% off your purchases."
Unlike Haven, Rarity welcomed the attention, good and bad, and was determined to make a living off it. Rarity linked her arm through their brother's.
"Daniel doesn't let the whispers bother him, do you, bro?"
"What was that?"
Daniel kept his eyes laser-focused on a petite blonde selling honey from a tent directly beneath the grossly outdated "Welcome to Whisper Canyon, Arrive a Stranger, Stay a Friend" sign. Haven's stomach clenched. Leave it to her twin brother to find the one girl on Main Street he hadn't already dated. On second thought, dated wasn't the right word. At least Haven wouldn't be seeing this one on her office couch in a few weeks. Maybe if she'd heeded the term conflict of interest before, she could have saved herself a whole lot of heartache. Haven blew out a breath and gathered her chocolate brown hair in front of her right shoulder. Colorado shouldn't be this hot in early August, especially not in the mountains. Rarity combed the loose strands with a gentle touch.
"Everyone's just curious why their favorite counselor closed her practice. You've been the confidant for everyone in town as long as I can remember."
"Haven, you know what you need?"
Daniel's voice was as smooth as his perfectly coiffed waves of hair. Her brother was too good-looking for his own good.
"A date. One nice, forget your troubles good time with a guy you'll never lay eyes on again."
Haven allowed herself two blinks before she opened her mouth, making sure her judgment didn't stretch across her face. "A man is the last thing I need right now.
And your advice stinks worse than your cologne. Rarity turned her focus back to Haven. You can talk to me, you know. Whatever you're carrying, you don't have to do it alone.
Just as she had her entire 27 years, Haven molded her lips into a pleasant smile. Her family had been through the ringer. They certainly didn't need to fret over her. I'm fine, really.
If you say so. I think I'll find some flowers for Mom's grave. Anyone want to join me?
Nearby, two dogs barked a greeting to each other as their owners mingled over soy candles. A welcome distraction as Rarity's question hung awkwardly among the three of them. Daniel looked over his shoulder toward the blonde.
I think I'll go sample the local honey.
Was there any point in trying to dissuade him these days? Be careful, Daniel. Her brother neared and kissed Haven's cheek.
You know me.
Then he was gone.
What about you, Haven?
Rarity asked. A welcome breeze dipped into the canyon, cooling Haven's face. She and Daniel had taken after their mother in appearance, their skin bronzed quickly in the sun. Still, at this altitude, Haven shouldn't risk it. I need some of that sunscreen Delaney sells. I'm sure whatever you pick out will look great. I'll go with you to the cemetery, okay? Haven put steps between them quickly, lest she give in. Those women were right. Nina Haviland had passed more down to Haven than just her skin tone, and Haven didn't feel much like memorializing her mother for it. Half the town seemed to fill Main Street, just like every Saturday morning in summertime. And as always, the crowd split in two. On the east side of the street, where the high-end boutiques sold the finest apparel, jewelry, and handbags, the weekenders meandered with their fat wallets and designer sunglasses. On the west side, local artists hawked their paintings and goods, while a group of young folks, probably drifters, sat on the pavement in front of a man who wore his blonde hair in locks and picked a folk tune on his guitar. Haven walked straight down the center line, keeping her chin steady despite the stares from both sides. She stopped at Delaney's skincare booth to peruse the product-filled tables. Reality burned brighter than the Rocky Mountain sun when Haven spied the sticker on the sunscreen. The bottle was smaller and the price was higher. Too high for someone 3 months unemployed. Something brushed Haven's hip. On her right, a tall man peered down at her. And while his smile was friendly, his eyes seemed to be canvassing her figure. Again, his hand swept against her side, not accidentally. As goose flesh rippled over Haven's arms, a woman on his right turned. When she noticed the person on whom her husband's unflinching gaze was focused, she dropped the lotion she'd been holding. Haven swallowed hard, ignoring the heat in her cheeks.
Mrs. Singleton, how are you?
Ramona Singleton brushed her bangs to the side as the man excused himself.
Hello, Haven. Pardon my husband. He's not himself today. It's the heat, I think.
Perfectly understandable. It's getting to a lot of people, it seems. Haven gripped the strap of her purse tightly as she pondered what to say next.
I meant to call.
Haven and Ramona exchanged awkward grins.
Go ahead, Ramona said.
I've been hoping to hear back from you about the job at the preschool.
Yes, about that. I have someone else in mind for the position. I'm sorry.
Oh. Haven breathed in deep. You've already filled it?
Not quite.
Ramona backed out from under the tent. Her gaze darted nervously about the crowd. Haven followed.
Is it my lack of teaching experience? My salary expectations? I'm willing to work hourly.
It's not that. Ramona sighed.
Some parents heard you were interviewing and...
Haven nodded for her to continue.
The mothers were nervous about you teaching their children. They've heard rumors. No one wants their husbands, well...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?